Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 693, Punya Kirti. The previous name was Punya, and this name is Punya Kirti. It has sounds similar to and is similar in meaning to the name Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. You've all heard this Punya Shravana Kirtana from Srimad Bhagavatam. Which verse? Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. The name Punya Shravana Kirtana is also a name of Lord Vishnu, which comes later in Vishnu Sahasranam. This name is Punya Kirti, which the word Punya is a very well-known word. It means, it's generally translated as piety, and Kirti means fame or glories. So by combining these two words, then various meanings can be understood. One is that by praising him, one becomes pious. Another meaning, Punya Kirti means the person by praising whom one becomes pious. Another meaning is that his glorification is pious, or that he's pious. In other words, the Kirti itself, the glory. Not only does one become purified by, or pious by praising him, but the praise itself is auspicious. It's very closely related. Another understanding is that his kirti, his fame, his glory is real, is actually glorious because it's pious, whereas the name, fame, and glory of persons who are not him or not his devotees, that is akirti, or not actually, it's not actually glory, it's false glory. So this also suggests that kirti, that word is also similar to kirtana. Kirtan means to praise or glorify, and kirti means praise as a noun, glorification. So that also gives the ideas that among all the methods of worshipping Krishna, kirtan is especially mentioned as being pious here in this name. Baladev Vidyabhushan, our Gaurya Vaishnav commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, he gives the understanding of this name is that chanting his glories purifies all living entities. Parashara Bhatta, the first Sri Vaishnav commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, says that his glories are purifying, especially when chanted by his devotees. Baladev Vidyabhushan says it purifies everyone, but especially the devotees. Because the devotees, in glorifying him, have no other motive than to glorify him simply out of their love for him. So that is most purifying. Others may glorify him just like... they may be devotees also, not exactly devotees, but they may be in the category of preliminarily pious people. That is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvidha bhajante manjana sukriti na arjuna artho jignyasur artharti gyani cha bharatarshava. Krishna says that four kinds of pious people worship me. The person who is distressed, the person who is desirous of wealth, person who is curious and one who's actually a knowledge of my glory. So the Gyani, Gyani Tvatma Eva Mehimatam, the Gyani is the best, Krishna says, because he's actually doing it out of love for the Gyani, in the sense that he knows who Krishna is, he knows what his relationship with Krishna is, and he glorifies Krishna on that basis, worships Krishna on that basis. Other people, they go to Krishna, especially the distress and the desire of wealth, they go to Krishna in the manner that a sycophant approaches a wealthy man. You know that word, sycophant? You don't have that in your language? No? It means someone who praises someone not very sincerely because they want to get something from them. You have that word? No, I'm surprised you don't have it. It sounds pretty Latin, but you have less words from Latin in your language than we do in the Queen's English. What's it? Flatterer. That's another word. There are many different words could be used in English. Sycophant is, I guess, the most common. Yeah.
What is the word?
Sycophant. Sycophant. So someone who, he glorifies someone, but it's just like a poor man may glorify a rich man. He doesn't actually care for the rich man, but he wants some money from him. So he thinks, let me butter him up. There's a saying in English, butter him up, and then he'll give me some money. There's a saying in English, flattery gets you nowhere. I don't know where that saying came from, because flattery works in many cases with rich and powerful people. Of course, they may be aware that many people flatter me just to get something out of me, but I'm not going to give anything to them. But Krishna, he is so kind that even people approach him, not very sincerely, but just by the fact that they approach him, their initial purification takes place. Just like if you approach fire for the sake of heat, you also get light. That's an example. Of course, in the blazing sunshine, you wouldn't approach the fire for heat. Here's an example. In the cold winter, when you're cooking, you light the fire for cooking, but automatically the kitchen becomes warm. So people may prefer to do kitchen service in the winter and not in the summer. Of course, here in the West, the buildings are all heated in the winter. That's still not there in India, mostly, even though it gets cold in the winter, in North India especially. And what to speak of up in the Himalayas. Badrinath becomes evacuated for several months a year. It's just too cold to stay up there. So Krishna purifies everyone, and especially his devotees, because they're approaching Krishna to glorify him. They may not be completely pure devotees, but those who glorify him, who are on the path of pure devotional service, they approach him with the understanding that by glorifying him, I will be purified. And they want to be purified, because they know that impurity means the desire not to glorify Krishna, or lack of desire to glorify Krishna. So they want to be purified from that, and therefore they glorify Krishna. The process of sadhana bhakti is to engage us in hearing and chanting about and serving Krishna in various ways in the association of devotees. So that's all very purifying. So those who approach Krishna for the sake of purification, they specifically get purification. Those who approach him for money, they may get money and they get purification also. But the purification is to a lesser degree. Mm. verse from the Vishnu Purana. Some verses have been quoted by Parashara Bhatta in this regard. Nama Sankirtanam Pungsang Vilayanam Anuttamam Maitreya Ashesha Papanam Dhatu Nama Eva Pavakaha. This is addressed to Maitreya. Just as fire purifies metals, the recitation of the names of Krishna, or Nama Sankirtan, which has unsurpassed greatness, destroys all the sins of man. Again from Vishnu Sahasranam. Avasena piyannamni kirtite sarvapatakai puman vimuchite sadhya singhatratai mrigaya riva. It's a common example given that those who, even without being aware of it, pronounce the name of Bhagavan are freed from their sins, the same way that a deer is freed from the attack of beasts when they run away on hearing the roar of a lion nearby. In other words, some hyenas might be attacking a deer, but when they hear the roar of a lion nearby, the hyenas run away and the deer is free, and then the deer has to run away from the lion also. The similar example is given by Narottam Das. Shunya Gobinda Rab Apane Palabe Shab Shingha Rab Jaina Karigan. That talking about all the bad tendencies, karma, krodha, lobha, all the lust, greed, anger, etc. They all flee away on the recitation of Govinda's name, the sound of Govinda's name. Just like the elephants run away on hearing the sound, the roar of a lion. Then another verse quoted from Vishnu Purana. Dhyan krite yajan yagyaistre thayang dvaparer chayan yadatnoti tadatnoti kalo sankirtya keshavam. The result that was obtained in the Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga by meditation, and in the Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in the Dwarapa Yuga by worship of the deity, is attained in the Kali Yuga by the Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the names of Keshava. So obviously the previous name, Punya, and this name, Punya Kirti, they're very much interlinked. Even thinking about him is purifying. But why should one want to think about him? Well, then, that's why there's Vishnu Sahasranama and Srimad Bhagavatam and so many texts which describe his glories. So, by describing his glories, that means which are glorious, which are pious, that means Punya Kirti, one gets the tendency, or one becomes inspired to glorify him. And in this way, one becomes purified. So, whoever glorifies him becomes pious, and in this sense, his glory itself is purifying. Just like same example, we come in contact with a fire, and automatically we get light and heat. So, if we somehow or other, by hearing or chanting about him, we come in contact with Krishna and we become purified, and we also become glorious. Who is glorious? Who glorifies Krishna? Tavakatamritam tatta jivanam kavibiriditam. What is it? Kavibiriditam kalnasapaham. Then the next line. Shravana mangalam srimadatatam bhuvigrinanti ye bhuridajana. The gopis are glorifying Krishna and persons who glorify Krishna. They say that tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavi iriditam kalmashapaham. Krishna, recitation of topics about Krishna, it destroys the, recitation of the glories of Krishna is nectar that the learned persons describe as destroying the sins of people and thus delivering them from the burning anxieties of their life. Simply to hear about Krishna is auspicious and increases all greatness. Therefore, persons in this world who glorify Krishna, they are the most magnanimous. So the gopis glorify people who glorify Krishna. And they themselves are the greatest glorifiers of Krishna. So one becomes glorious by glorifying him. One becomes pious. Now, this name is particularly important if we consider that Krishna is not the only person who's glorified. In this world, people glorify all kinds of different people. They glorify people who are actually not worthy of being glorified, such as film stars, politicians, sport stars. But by glorifying such people who are useless, one doesn't become pious. Now it may be said that by glorifying, they don't become pious because they're not, their fame does not rest on any piety. It rests on foolishness at best. And in the case of politicians, it may rest on impiety. It may be said that worship of demigods is pious. Well, in one sense, worship of demigods is within the Vedic culture, and the demigods are all servants of Krishna. Of course, everyone's a servant of Krishna, but some people know it and some don't. But demigods know that they're servants of Krishna, or they recognize it. And so worship of demigods, that's pious, but it's only, again, a preliminary piety, and it's mixed with the impiety of wanting something material from them. Except in the case of devotees who worship demigods so that they can approach Krishna, as in the case of the gopis who worshipped Katyayani for the sake of attaining Krishna as their husband. So glorifying foolish people, that is different from glorifying him. Therefore, he is known as Punyakirti. If we glorify anyone else, we don't get Punya. We get the opposite. We don't get purified at all. The next name, 694, is Anamaya, which the most common meaning of that name is freedom from disease or healthy condition. This word, Anamayam, appears twice in Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter. Karma jang buddhi yuktahi phalam tyaktva manishinaha janma bandha vinir muktaf padanga chantyanamayam. Srila Prabhupada's translation. By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada glosses the word anamayam here as being without miseries. devotees they can go to the place which is without misery. It means the spiritual world. Then in the 14th chapter, describing the mode of goodness, this particular verse describes the mode of goodness. The 14th chapter describes the manifestations of the three modes of material nature. So in the 6th verse of this chapter, tatra sattvang nimalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukha sangena bhatnati jnana sangena chanaga. So here, anamayam is glossed as without any sinful reaction. And the verse translation, O sinless one, the mode of goodness being purer than the others is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. And there are many places in Shastra where this term, well, not so many, but several, this term appears in Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Tato yad uttarataram tadarupam anamayam ya etyad vidur amritas te bhavanti ate tare dukam eva piyanti. In the material world, Brahma, the primeval living being within the universe, is understood to be supreme among the demigods, human beings, and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendence, who has no material form and is free from all material contamination. So here, anamayam means material contaminations. Anyone who can know him also becomes transcendental, but those who do not know him suffer the miseries of the material world. Now, there is a famous saying in Sanskrit, a Vedic saying, Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kaschid durga bhag bhavet, Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. So, this is a prayer or a benediction. Let everyone be happy. Srila Prabhupada often quoted that. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. Or sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. Let everyone be free of disease. Let no one partake in miseries. Oh, let everyone see all auspiciousness in their life, and may no one have to take part in miseries. So this name is Anamayam. It means he who is beyond pain or suffering. All there are so many different kinds of pain and suffering. The four principal are listed as birth, death, old age, and disease. And there is suffering of the adhyatmic, suffering of one's own body and mind, adhibhotic suffering, adhibhotic klesh, that which is given to us by other living beings, adhidaivik klesh, that which is given by the demigods, or natural disturbances. But Krishna is beyond all of this. Another meaning is that he who removes disease, he himself is free from all misery, and he removes the miseries of others, especially the misery in the form of repeated birth and death or incarceration in material existence. So definitely Krishna is beyond all disease or sickness. There is a story of Krishna having a headache, which could only be cured by the foot dust of his devotees. And only the gopis were willing to give that. So that may be some pastime. But by constitution, Krishna is free from all disease. He's called Anamaya, Parashabhata says, that because the worst disease or the worst distress is that which encompasses all distress, which is material existence itself. And by punya kirti, by pious glorification of him, one becomes free from material existence. Why is material, what's wrong with material existence? Well, I say birth, death, old age and disease, adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik klesh. But the real worst thing about material existence is that it obstructs our tendency and ability to glorify and serve Krishna. And all the other distresses that we perceive, that they're all offshoots of that. The real suffering, we don't realize it, but the real suffering is not to be able to glorify Krishna. And that is proved by devotees. They may undergo all kinds of situations which others would consider to be very distressful, but the devotees remain happy because they're always remembering Krishna. Naivod vijay paradurajaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittam shocheta tovi mukacheta sa indriyato maya sukaya paramudvato vimurha. Prahlad Maharaj says that, I'm not afraid of material existence, I don't care at all what goes on. And he already proved that by being completely unperturbed and unharmed when Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill him by various means, by throwing him in oil, putting him in a pit of snakes, throwing him before a wild elephant, having him attacked with various sharp instruments, thrown off the edge of a cliff. He wasn't even disturbed. He didn't care at all. He said, I don't care about material existence because wherever I am, whatever happens, I'm in the bliss of glorifying you. But Prahlad says, my only distress is seeing all these persons, these foolish people who are averse to your service and averse to you, and who are carrying the heavy burden of illusory existence. So the real distress is forgetting Krishna, and then all other distresses follow like that. The material existence is described in Chandogya Upanishad. Vyadipi paripurnosmi. Someone who's realized his position in material existence says, I'm completely full of disease. How are you? If someone asks, how are you? You can reply, Vyadipi paripurnosmi. I'm completely full of disease. And what is the disease? Forgetfulness of Krishna. Haridas Thakur said something similar when in his old age, just before passing from this world, he was enacting the pastime of sickness and weakness in old age. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see him and asked him, what's up, Haridas? He said, I'm in a really bad position. Because I'm unable to chant my rounds. So he didn't take it that I'm weak, I'm sick, and therefore I'm suffering, but I'm unable to chant my rounds, my prescribed number of rounds. Shankaracharya, in his understanding of this name, gives the understanding that he's called Anamaya because he's freed from all the ills that are produced by karma, internal or external. His Satchidananda form, by the very nature, his form is Satchidananda. So there's no question of any disease or illness in his Satchidananda form. Or even the mental illness or mental disturbance. Someone may have a very healthy body, but the mind is very disturbed. That's quite common. But Krishna, he's completely perfect in all respects. He doesn't suffer from any miseries whatsoever. What is disease? It's an interesting English word. Ease means comfort, relaxation. It gives the sense of a feeling of contentment, disease, just the opposite. Of course, disease literally means illness, especially, more technically speaking, illness caused by germs, the germ theory of disease. It's actually fairly recent. But disease can be defined as anything which causes discomfort to the body or mind. In that case, or disease, lack of contentment. For instance, if we're wearing shoes and they're too tight, it's not a disease in the sense of an illness, but it causes a lack of ease. It causes some pain. So in that sense, everything in this material existence can be called disease. So Bhagavan is beyond all of such disease. There's no such distress for him, even though he goes barefoot to herd the cows, but he feels no distress. But the gopis, they feel distress, thinking that Krishna is herding the cows. He's with his soft feet, he's out in the pasture, and the little stones must be hurting his feet. So they feel pain, thinking about the pain which he doesn't feel, because he's very happy to be with his cows and to be with his devotees, the cowherd boys. So this name also indicates that in his abode in the spiritual world, there's no disease, no birth, death, old age, or disease. He's not affected by earthly bondage, nor does he need any bandage. Little play on words here. And if we worship him, even if we worship him with some material motive, doing that will give us good mental health, peace of mind. As psychologists have begrudgingly noted, that people who are religious, they tend to be psychologically strong and to be happy even in difficulty. So they may say that actually religion is good. Not that they believe in any God, but they say it's good for your mental health. But then they think it's bad for mental health, because to believe in God, according to the atheists, is itself a mental disease. So they're caught, because if they think it's a sign of psychological weakness to worship God, they say to worship God is a kind of crutch, a psychological crutch. But the effect of doing so is that one becomes steady in mind, tends not to be frustrated by various circumstances which would make others upset. Of course, one of Krishna's incarnations is Dhanvantari, who gives the medical science. So this name would fit with him very well, Anamayam. He can cure us from all health problems. In short, he is the antidote for all maladies. Everything wrong comes from not being Krishna conscious. So he is the antidote for that. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning that he is the medicine that cures the disease of repeated birth and death. And in this regard, we can quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, Nivritta-tarshaya-rupa-giyamanad-bhaval-shaudhat-chotra-mano-bhiramat ka-uttama-shloka-gunanavadat-puman-virajeta-vina-pashugnat. This verse means that persons who have gone beyond the stage of hankering for material happiness, material name, fame, gain. Such persons, they glorify Krishna according to the parampara system. They do so. And doing so is the medicine for repeated birth and death. To glorify Krishna in the parampara system, and especially in the mode of not glorifying him for any material gain, but because one has gone beyond one has already transcended the platform of desiring any material gain. So this medicine of glorifying Krishna, it acts to purify us, and when we become purified from the desire for any material gain, it acts even more powerfully. Usually we think the medicine will take it in the beginning and the effect will be there more in the beginning and it will decrease. As we take it, the effect will decrease. But with this medicine, the first stage is purifying us from material desire. And then when we get there, then we get to the stage where it lifts us up to the totally transcendental position. And glorifying Krishna and hearing that glorification is very pleasing to the mind. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, who speaks this verse, says, who will not want to repeat the glories of he who is glorified in the best verses? The only person who would do so is a butcher, killer of animals, or someone who's killing himself by trying to be spiritual but ignoring Krishna, namely the killer of the soul, the impersonalist. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Any question about this? Vancha kalpataruphyas chakripas indivarita patitam avanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.